been in church for any amount of time, especially if you've listened to much preaching or read much Bible, you'll probably recognize this passage of Scripture. It's very familiar, very common. Genesis chapter 22, verse number 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. The angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, we thank you again for this day. Thank you for another opportunity to be here. I thank you for this time of the service where we open your word, and I pray, God, that you would please bless and honor your word as it goes forth. Lord, I ask you to help me to have the liberty that I need to say exactly what you want said. Pray for clarity of thought and speech. And Lord, I pray that you would help each one of us to have ears to hear and hearts to receive the message. Lord, help us to be able to focus. God, it's so easy for our minds to wander off, to go to other places and other situations and different responsibilities that we all have. Lord, please help us in these next few minutes to be able to stay in the moment, to stay focused and alert, attentive, to hear what you have for us. And most of all, God, I pray that you'd help us to apply it to our lives. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. The passage here that we just read contains, from a human perspective, not the Lord's, because a perfect, infallible, all-wise, all-knowing God always does what is right. And there is always a purpose, a design, a plan for what he does or what he expects people to do. So not from his perspective, but from our perspective, this passage contains a very strange story, one that Brother David referenced this past week during our revival, the story of God telling Abraham to offer his son, Isaac, for a burnt offering upon a mountain in the land of Moriah. And if you know anything at all about the burnt offering of the Old Testament, you know that involved at least two things. Number one, it meant that he would have to kill his son. Number two, it meant that he would have to burn his body. The Old Testament, the burnt offering, there was a lamb, there was an animal, and it was sacrificed first upon an altar. It was put to death, and then its body was burned as an offering to the Lord. So whenever God tells Abraham to offer his son Isaac for a burnt offering, that's what would be involved. Abraham would first have to slay his son and then burn his body. That's why you see different things that are mentioned here in the text. For example, if you'll look once again at verse number 6, you'll notice there it says, Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering. Part of that should be self-explanatory. It's called a burnt offering, which is going to involve fire. So there's wood, and it says he laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand, and then it says a knife. The reason all of those things are mentioned is because all of that would be needed to carry out the burnt offering that God demanded of Abraham. So there's no doubt this is a strange story. It's strange, at least to me, that God would ask a man or tell a man to do this. That God would tell a man to take his son to a mountain and offer him as a burnt offering. And what makes it even more strange is the fact that prior to this, God had promised Abraham that through this son, through Isaac, he would make his seed as the sand on the seashore and the stars that are in heaven. And yet after making that promise through Isaac, God tells this man to take that promised seed up to a mountain and end his life as an offering to God. So on a couple of different levels, this is a strange story. It's so strange that many times through the years I have had Christians approach me and question things about this story. What I want to do here in the next few minutes is just try to provide a little bit of clarity on why God told Abraham to offer his son Isaac as a burnt offering. That's the title of the message today, Why God Told Abraham to Offer Isaac. It's a very simple title, but it gets right to the heart of the message, and that's what this message is all about, just trying to help us better understand why God said what he did and expected what he did out of Abraham. And hopefully I'll be able to make some practical application as we go along in this. But I want to give you three reasons this morning why God told Abraham to offer his son Isaac as a burnt offering. Number one, let me say this. God told him to do this in order to try Abraham. To try Abraham. Look at Genesis chapter 22, verse number 1. The very first verse in this sheds light on why God did what he did. The Bible says there in verse 1, and it came to pass after these things that God did what? Tempt Abraham. Now, this is one of the many places in the scripture where people who do not believe the Bible try to discredit the word of God. They'll take this verse and compare it with another passage over in James chapter 1 and say that the Bible is a book that contradicts itself. I don't know if any of you have ever ran into anybody that said that, but that's what they'll do, because over in James chapter 1, verse number 13, the Bible says that God tempteth no man. Y'all familiar with that verse? God tempteth no man. And yet right here in Genesis chapter 22 and verse number 1, the Bible tells us that God tempted a man. Isn't that what it says? Y'all still with me? Y'all hadn't nodded off yet, have you? Y'all still with me? But this is a place where people try to discredit the scripture. The problem, and this is always the problem, is it not? The problem is that people will not get into the Bible and study and search and read with the proper motive. They go to the Bible, many people looking to try to find something wrong with the scripture. They go in with a bad motive, hoping to find some type of contradiction. So when they run across something like this, they say, see right there, the Bible is a book that contradicts itself. But it goes back to the problem that people will not come to the Bible and study with an earnest, sincere desire to learn the truth. I promise you, if an individual will approach the Bible with a desire to learn the truth, not some ulterior motive, God will show them the truth. And if you'll study the Bible, you'll see very easily that there is no contradiction when the Bible says God tempted Abraham. And the reason why I say that is because when you search the Scripture and study the different places where temptation shows up, you find that there are at least two types of temptation mentioned in the Scripture. Not just one type. So every time the word tempt or temptation or some variation or form of that word shows up, it doesn't always mean the exact same thing. There are different types of temptation. One type you read about in the Bible is a solicitation or an enticement to sin. It's trying to get somebody to do something that is in violation to the Word of God. All of us in here experience those types of temptations, don't we? We get those types of temptation from the devil, from the world, from our very own flesh, this thing that we live in every day. We are enticed to do wrong. That's one type, but there is a completely other type of temptation that the Bible speaks of. And this type is simply a trial or a test of your faith. Let me show you that. Hold your place right here in the book of Genesis chapter 22. And go over to the book of James, chapter number 1. While you're turning there, a good illustration of the first type I mentioned is in Matthew chapter 4 and also Luke chapter 4 when Jesus is tempted by the devil. Those that are mentioned there, those temptations are all enticements for the Lord Jesus Christ to do something sinful that was against his Father's will. And all of those came from the devil. In fact, the Bible calls Satan the tempter. So you can rest assured there will be enticements in your life. The devil, the world, the flesh, they're all going to come along and entice you to do wrong. But then there will be times when you experience this other type of temptation. This trial or test of your faith. James chapter 1, look at verse number 2. Y'all look at the scripture here. James chapter 1, verse number 2. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers, that's diverse, different temptations. Y'all see the word temptations used? If you do, say amen. Do you notice there's a semicolon at the end of verse number 2? Y'all notice that? So you know what that means, right? That means that the next verse is connected to the verse we just read. And what he says in verse 2 is count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Then he says in verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Verse number 3 explains the type of temptations that he's talking about in verse number 2. Sometimes temptations are a solicitation to sin. Sometimes they're simply a trial of your faith. God testing your faith as a Christian. Look on down in this same chapter, by the way, at verse number 12. One other illustration, and I could take you to several of these, but we don't have the time. Verse number 12, James says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Look at it now. For when he is what? Tried. Not enticed to sin, but when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So in the scripture, you got two different types of temptation. Here's what God won't do. It says God tempteth no man. What God won't do is tempt you to sin. He won't do that. But I tell you what God will do. He'll test your faith. That's what he does. And that's exactly what he did with Abraham. When it says God did tempt Abraham, it doesn't mean that he enticed him to sin. It means that he tried his faith. How do you know that? You go to the Bible. That's how you know. Hebrews chapter 11. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11 with me. Hebrews chapter 11. Please understand, as I've told you 1,000 times before, the best commentary on the Bible will always be the Bible itself. The best way to interpret Scripture is with Scripture. Read the Bible, study the Bible, dig in, have the right attitude, the right motive, and as you do that, God will open your eyes and show you truth that He will not show some of the smartest minds on this earth. That's a guaranteed fact, because many of those people think they know more than God. And when they come to the Bible, their motive is wrong. If you come to the Bible with this attitude, this mindset, God's right all the time. If I see something that doesn't look right, there's not a problem with the Bible. There's a problem with my understanding. And you search your Scripture and pray and ask God to show you the truth. You know what He'll do? He'll show you the truth. He'll open your eyes to that. Hebrews chapter 11. This is the great hall of faith, as people call it, where all these people of faith are mentioned that have lived in the past. And you come to verse number 17, it starts talking about Abraham. And it talks about this very story we're studying here in Genesis chapter 22. And look at what it says here. Scripture with Scripture. How do you know what type of temptation Abraham faced? The Bible says, by faith, Abraham, when he was what? Tried. Y'all see that? Offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Now, I don't want you to move away from these verses here in Hebrews chapter 11. You can look back to Genesis 22, but we're going to come back to Hebrews chapter 11 in just a moment, so keep that marked. But what you find here is the reason why God told Abraham. A reason why God told Abraham to offer Isaac was to test his faith. He asked Abraham to do something that would be very difficult for anybody that was of sound mind. Amen. Can you imagine being put in a situation where you're asked to give up a child? Let me say this. Some people have already been down that road. Now, it was a little different scenario than what we're talking about right here. It wasn't a thing where they took their child somewhere and sacrificed their child, but there's many a people, or many a person rather, that's been down this road where God took a child from them. They had to make that sacrifice. They had to give up that child. But what a position to be in where God would ask you to give up a child. What a test this must have been for Abraham, because Abraham's a man of like passions as you are, as I am. Oftentimes we look at these people in the Bible, our heroes of the faith, and we think they're superhuman. No, they were human, just like every one of us. So Abraham's a man of like passions. He loved his son. That's what it says in Genesis 22, verse number 2, isn't it? And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. He loved his son. He was the great treasure, the dearest treasure of his life. And yet God says, I want you to take that boy up to a mountain and I want you to give him to me. Sacrifice him for me. What a test of his faith. To his credit, Abraham passed the test, didn't he? Abraham passed the test. God tells him what he expects in verse number 2. When you get to verse number 3, you see instantaneous obedience. You see unquestioned, unconditional obedience. He doesn't question God. He doesn't try to wiggle his way out of it. He immediately begins to do what God told him to do. He gets up the very next morning. He saddles the ass. He gets him a couple of men to go along for help. He gets his son, he cleaves the wood. Think about that now, having to cut up the very wood that you're going to use in sacrificing your child. Every time he chops a piece of wood, he knows he's chopping that piece to burn the body of his son that he's about to offer as a sacrifice. But you know what he does? He keeps chopping that wood. He keeps chopping that wood. He cleaves the wood. Rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Goes on and goes on. And he doesn't hold his son back. Abraham passed the test. All of us in life as saved people will have our faith put to the test. We're going to go through stuff. Listen to me now. God's going to see to it. God's not going to ever tempt you to sin, but he will put you to the test. And he's going to do it all along your journey. The Bible says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. Whenever it happens, oftentimes we have these things and we almost act like something weird's going on. Actually, the Bible says don't think that stuff strange. Just understand that's a natural part of the Christian experience. It's a natural part of the Christian life for God periodically to put your faith to the test. That's the reality of it, and it's going to happen for as long as you live on this earth. If you get through one, just hang on, brother. Just hang on, sister. Somewhere down the line, you know what's going to happen? Another test is going to come along. If you pass that one, somewhere down the line, another one's going to come on. God is constantly going to work on us and deal with us in our lives as His children. It's not a strange thing. It's a common thing. Here's the thing to focus on. Don't focus on it being weird that it happens. Focus on passing the test when it comes. Focus on being as ready as you can for it and passing the test. It's kind of like school, you know. You go to school. What do you have when you go to school? All along, amen. All along, what do you have? You have a test. I mean, I've been out of school for soon be 30 years now. I've been out of high school this January, or this next year, be 30 years. I've been out of high school, been out of college for almost 25 years. But all along through school, and even into college, periodically there were tests. That's just the way it was. Nothing was going to change that. That's the way it is when you go to school. You can't stop the process, is what I'm telling you. You're not going to stop having the test. You know what you can do? You can prepare for the test. You can study. You can learn, which I always did that to the best of my ability, you know. Like some of you did, right? But what I'm telling you, you don't stop the test. You just prepare. You do the best you can to be ready for it so when it comes, you can pass the test. It's the same in your Christian life. You're not going to stop the process. God is going to try your faith as you go along in your Christian life. That is reality. It's going to be a common experience. You cannot stop it, but what you can do is try your best to be prepared to pass the test. Abraham passed. But how in the world did he do it? Have you ever thought about it? How could he just get up after what God told him to do and go toward that place and do what God told him to do? How could he do such a thing like that? How could you pass that kind of test? Well, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go back to Hebrews chapter 11. You remember what I said in the beginning of the message in the introduction? I said that before God told Abraham to offer his son, he made him a promise, didn't he? Y'all remember that? He gave that man a promise. Before this test came along, he gave him a promise. He said, I promise you that through that boy right there, your seed is going to be as the sand of the seashore, the stars of heaven. God made a promise. You know how Abraham was able to pass what was probably the greatest test of his entire life? He trusted the promise of God. He saw what God told him to do, but in his mind, he's thinking back, hey, I know God has told me to take my son up that mountain and offer him up, but I also remember that time back here when God made me a promise. And he held on to that promise, and here's what he knew as he's cleaving that wood and getting that fire and going to that place and going up there and binding his son and putting him on that altar. Here's what he knew. He didn't know how it was all going to fall out, all unfold, but what he knew is that God would keep his promise. He knew that somehow, some way, God was going to work that situation out and do exactly what he promised he would do. He was so strong in his faith that he actually believed that if necessary, God would raise his son from the dead. Now, how do you know that? Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 17. Again, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Look at it, verse 19. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. His whole perspective was, look, even if he's got to raise him up from the dead, he's going to do it. But I know God's going to do what he told me. He got those promises. He believed those promises. That is why, look back at Genesis chapter 22. Chapter 22, verse number 5. It says, and Abraham said unto his young men, those two boys are not boys, but two young men that he brought with him, abide ye here with the ass. Now look at this. And I will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Is that what he's saying? Did he just say, I'm going to go up there and come back? He said, I and the lad. Who's that lad he's talking about? He's talking about his son Isaac. He said, you fellas stay right here with the donkeys. He said, me and Isaac's going up yonder, and we're going to worship. We're going together, both of us, and when we come back, it's going to be both of us. Why would he say such a thing? How could he say that? He's trusting the promise of God. He knew that God would be faithful to his promise. That's how he passed the test. He was able to move on through this and do what God told him to do because he trusted the promises of God. One of the greatest things you can do in a time of testing and trial of your faith is cling to the promises of God that are in the Bible. If you'll hold on to them, I'm telling you, they'll give you hope when it seems like there is no hope. They'll give you peace when there is turmoil and confusion all around you. They'll give you joy when it seems like there's nothing to be joyful about. They'll help you press on through situations that seem dark and bleak and hopeless. That's what the promises of God to do for you in your life. They'll help you pass the test, just like Abraham. I got to move on. Spent more time than I intended to on that one point. God told Abraham to offer his son to try his faith. Number two, let me say this. God told Abraham to offer Isaac to give us a type. To give us a type. What am I talking about? I'm talking about giving us one of the most beautiful types, pictures of the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ that you'll find anywhere in the Bible. All down through this text here, you see things that connect this event or associate this event with the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's mountain. All the way down through here, you see these things. I'm going to try to give you some of them as quickly as I can. For example, the place. It isn't coincidence where God told Abraham to take his son. Look at what the Bible says there in verse number 2. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and there in that land offer him for a burnt offering. Why Moriah? I mean, why couldn't he just do it right there at his house? Why go to Moriah? Hold your place. Turn quickly to the book of 2 Chronicles. Not 2 Corinthians. 2 Chronicles. 1 and 2 Chronicles right after 1 and 2 Kings. And these are some of the forgotten books in the Bible, you know. A lot of people don't read 1 and 2 Chronicles because some places it's hard reading. Ain't no doubt about it. But 2 Chronicles chapter 3, what's significant about Moriah? Why would he tell him to go to that place? 2 Chronicles chapter 3. Second Chronicles chapter 3, verse number 1. The Bible says, then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem. What does that say? In Mount Moriah. You know where Jerusalem was? It was in Moriah. The exact same place where God said to Abraham, you take your son. Now, what significant event took place just outside the city of Jerusalem? The sacrifice of your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was taken out to a mountain. There were mountains. According to the Bible, there's mountains around Jerusalem. Just a mountain chain there. He's taken out. We call it Mount Calvary. Think about it. I thought about it this morning. We were singing that song. The choir was singing that song, Near the Cross, or Jesus Keep Me Near the Cross. Have you ever thought about how many songs there are in the songbook about the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ and how there's references made to it being a mountain? Ever thought about that before? Up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, place after place. Jesus Christ is crucified. Hear what I'm telling you. He's crucified at this place where God said to Abraham, you take your son there. That shows you a connection. It wasn't chance. It wasn't just some place that he picked out. The reason he said go to Moriah is because this story was to picture and typify the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Listen, folks, when Abraham's told to go to Moriah, this is thousands of years before Jesus Christ would come and die on the cross. He had no earthly idea that one day Jesus Christ was going to die outside of that city. He had no idea, but you know who did? God did. Before the foundation of the world, friend. He knew where it was going to be. That's why he picked that place to show you the connection between this and the sacrifice of his son. Got to move on. Other things that are mentioned here, and I can't get into all of them. It's just all down through here. But the wood, for example, in verse number 6, it says in Genesis 22:6, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and look at what it says, and laid it upon Isaac, his son. You know what that pictures? You remember when the Lord Jesus Christ, after he's beaten and spit on, all that horrible, terrible stuff, and he's led out to Calvary? What does he have to bear as he's going out there? His cross. That cross is laid on the Lord Jesus Christ, and after he's been mutilated to the point you can't even hardly tell he's a man, he has to drag that old heavy cross out to that place where he'd be sacrificed for our sins. That wood is laid on him. You see it in verse number 8 where Abraham says to his son, it's interesting, verse 7, you see Isaac, you know, he picks up on something here. He looks around, he says, look, we got some wood, we got some fire, we got everything we need, but we ain't got a lamb. Where's he at, daddy? And this is what God says to him, or excuse me, Abraham, his daddy says to him, he says, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. You know what God did? He provided himself a lamb. You know what Jesus Christ called the New Testament, John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. God provided himself a lamb. I look on down at verse number 13, where this ram is caught in the thicket by his horns, and then Abraham goes and he takes that ram, and it says he offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. That ram takes the place of Isaac. You know who took your place? That lamb that God provided for himself took your place. It was me and you that should have died on the cross, amen? But that lamb took our place. Just a couple other things in type here. Abraham. Abraham is a type of our father. A type of our heavenly father who, as the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 32, listen to this. It says that he spared not his own son. It's talking about God now. He spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Is that not what Abraham did? When God said to him, you take your boy up there, he took his boy up there. He did not hold back his own son from the Lord. He's a type of the father. Isaac, type of the son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I've read and studied this thing. Abraham's somewhere around 116 years old when this happens. You know how old Isaac is? He's about 16. Now listen to me. Don't you know that if he wanted to, Isaac probably could have resisted this whole thing and got away from his daddy? But he didn't. This is what it says about the Lord Jesus Christ. The New Testament, Philippians chapter 2, says he was obedient unto death. That whole process, even though the Lord Jesus looked into that bitter cup and said, I don't want to drink that cup, but he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Through that whole process, Jesus Christ was submissive to his Father, and he laid down his life. No man took the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. He laid down his life. You know what Isaac did? You don't find in this thing anywhere where he rebels, where he tries to get out of it. He lets his father bind him and put him on that altar, knowing what his daddy's fixing to do. He does it willingly. Now listen, that's what Jesus did for you. He laid down his life for you. He didn't have to, but he did. Listen, folks. God intended for us, when we read Genesis chapter 22, y'all need to hear this now, not to just see a story about Abraham and Isaac. He intended for us to look thousands of years down the road from that and see his precious son that willingly laid down his life for the sins of the world. When you read Genesis 22, that's the thing you need to keep in mind. Yes, there's great practical stuff all through this, as we've talked about and will talk about, just in the story of Abraham and Isaac and what transpired here. There's a lot of stuff there you can learn. But man, the greatest thing in here that God wants you to draw out and see is what he and his son did for humanity. That God so loved the world, isn't that what it says? That he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Let me give you one last thing and I'll be done. Got to move through this quickly. He told Abraham to offer Isaac to try or test his faith. Number two, to give us a type. And then thirdly, just to teach us some truths that we need to know. Basic but crucial truths. And I don't have time to go into these, especially go into them in detail, so I'm just going to mention them to you. I'll tell you a good truth this passage teaches that all of us need to learn. It teaches us to obey the Lord unconditionally. To obey unconditionally. That's exactly what Abraham did. He obeys unconditionally. There's no question. There's no trying to wiggle out, as I said earlier. He gets the word from his father, or from God, and he does it. Unconditionally. That's what God's looking for in my life and yours. Unconditional obedience. Looking into the word. Seeing what our Father expects from us and doing that. When the Lord moves on our heart, personally and individually, just in our own lives, when he speaks to us about things that he wants us to do, I'm talking about personal stuff in our lives, not necessarily something in the Bible that's for everybody, but how God deals with us individually throughout our lives, and he speaks to our heart, and he says, this is what I want you to do. And there'll be times where God will tell you to do something that he doesn't tell anybody else to do. He told Abraham to go offer his son. That wasn't something that he told everybody else in the world to do, was it? That's just what he told Abraham to do. There's going to be times when the Lord's going to move on your heart personally, individually, and say, hey, this is what I want you to do. You know what you need to learn from Abraham? Unconditional obedience. My father said it. That settles it. Whether I understand it or not, I'm just going to do what he said. Unconditional obedience. I tell you something else it teaches. It teaches that there's nothing that should be more important to us than our Lord. He asked Abraham to give up the son that he loved. It's not really a sacrifice, is it, if you give up something you don't care about, is it? That's not really a sacrifice. It comes easy. Remember, I think I shared this story one time. Matthew gave a toy to this kid that come over to the house there. And he come out and gave him some little monster truck things. He comes out and he gave him a couple of them. And man, that did my heart good, because I didn't tell him to do it. I didn't say go in there and get that and give it to him. He just went there and got them and he gave it to him. And I thought, well, praise the Lord. Maybe he's got little tender heart, wanting to be nice and generous, and later on I complimented him. He said, it's all right, Daddy, I didn't like him nohow. Kind of let the air out of my bubble there a little bit. It's not a sacrifice if you don't care anything about it. God put his finger on the thing that meant the most to Abraham, and he says, I want you to give that to me. And you know what, there's going to be times, I promise you, along your life, throughout your life as a Christian, just to test you, where the Lord's going to say, I want that right there. And listen to me, it's not going to be something that's sinful. Nothing wrong with Isaac, was there? But God said, I want him. That's what he told him. Now, he didn't take him in the end, but he said, that's what I want. And there's going to be times, it's not just about God putting his finger on stuff that's wrong in your life and saying get rid of that. There's going to be times, which is the real test, where he's going to put his finger on things that you love so much that are not wrong for you to have, but to test you to see if you love him more than you love that, he's going to say, I want that right there. That'll be the test then. Are you willing to give that up? Or will it mean more to you than him? Here's the thing that I noticed. I'm trying to hurry, y'all. I really am. Look at Genesis 22, verse 12. Abraham goes up there and he draws back that knife and he's fixed to kill him. The angel stops him. Verse 12, and he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thine son, thine only son, from me. The thing that stood out to me there is the Lord doesn't say to him there, now I know that you love God. He said, now I know you fear God. Now listen, every person ought to have a healthy fear of the Lord. That's what the Bible says. And that fear will guide you at times in your life to do the right thing when your love is not what it's supposed to be with the Lord. Because we don't always love him the way we should, do we? But if you have that healthy fear, you'll go on and do the right thing knowing what might happen if you don't do the right thing. But what I'm saying is that it would have been better, it seems to me, if when this happened, the angel would have said, now I know that thou lovest God. That Abraham did it because he loved the Lord, not just because he feared the Lord. That's how you know that you've made some progress in your life. When you do those things, not because you're scared of what might happen if you don't, but you do it because you love him for what he's already done in your life. That's what God wants. Us to love him more than anything else. Got a couple more, but can I mention one more? Y'all please, just bear with me. This is the last thing. And I tell you something else it teaches. It teaches that the Lord will provide when we do what we're supposed to. That's kind of where we get that thing blurred sometimes. Our mindset is, I can live in sin, I can do whatever I want to, I don't have to have any regard for God, and he's still going to take care of me. I hate to bust your bubble, but that ain't in the Bible, okay? What you do find in the Bible is that when we do what God tells us to do, he will always take care of you. He'll always provide for you. You see it, verse number 8, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. He's trusting the promises of God. He's walking obedience, see? He's not running the other way to get away from God. He's going right where God told him. And he knows with every step, because I'm doing the right thing, God's going to provide what is needed in this situation. And as you walk in obedience in your life, I promise you God will provide. I'm going to end with this story. I don't know, I might have told you. But back when I was in Bible college years ago, one day I went out to a grocery store there in Graceville. And I was in the line and went to buy some groceries, and happened to be in front of me a lady. She was an African-American lady. And when it came time to pay, she didn't have enough money to pay for her groceries. And I was standing there, and I wasn't trying to be nosy. I just heard it, you know. And I believe I heard it because God wanted me to help her. So I said, ma'am, I'd like to give you a little money just to help pay for the rest of that. I didn't know who she was. I didn't know her from Adam. She had a fit, man. I'm talking, she almost embarrassed me is what she did. She said, praise the Lord. God always has a ram in the thicket. That's what she said standing there in that line. I think it scared that poor cashier slammed to death. You know what happened? But when she said that, I knew what she was talking about. You know what she was talking about, don't you? Come to find out, she was a good Christian woman just going through a tough time in her life. But God had somebody there to help her out. I'm telling you, you live like you're supposed to live and do like you ought to do and you obey God unconditionally. I'm not telling you won't have a hard time, but I'm telling you God will get you through every last one of them. He'll provide what you need. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you for letting us be here in church. Thank you for the Word of God, the truth it holds. Help us, Lord, to take it now and apply it to our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. 388. while we sing. If you need to come for any reason.